The West Live.
The West Live
with Jenna Clark. Brought to you by Neds. Take it to the Neds level. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
It's been a big year for us all, especially those of us of faith who regularly flock to church. But regardless of your religion or whether you're touch agnostic about organised religion and faith, you have to say that connection and community have been the hallmarks of 2020. Something places like the Anglican Church have been championing online with forums and special trips to remote parts of WA, which the Archbishop Kay Goldsworthy, who joins me now, has been doing. Reverend, you've always been a trailblazer in the church and the community. How have things been for you in this crazy year of 2020?
Oh, good morning, Jenna. How are you?
So well. It's such a pleasure to have you on the show. How you are a very busy woman. How has 2020 treated you?
Look, 2020 has been for me just so unexpected, as it has been for everybody else. And it has taught me, again, some of those incredibly important lessons about how we need to connect with each other, how significant community is, how strengthening faith is for people, and how having a story to tell of hope and of faith and of goodness is just incredibly important. So, yeah, we've all been in the, as some people would say, the same boat, I think the same storm, and together over this year.
Now, you've recently returned from the Pilbara. Is this an annual trip that you head up to do, or how? What caused you? Did you just want to go to Broome to have a beer at Matzo's? Like, we've all been there.
No, unfortunately not Broome for a beer. I went to some mining sites in the Pilbara to visit some chaplains. So Fortescue Mining has chaplains who work across their company.
Right.
Many of them are Anglican, and they've sort of really focused together. So I visit them on a regular, on an annual basis to support them, to encourage them, to hear about the work that they're doing, to meet a number of the people who work in that industry, to hear some of their stories. And so I was really fortunate that last week was the week that I went.
Amazing. How is everyone doing up there? I guess we hear regularly about the struggles of mental health up there with the FIFO sort of lifestyle. Obviously, that would be a concern for the chaplains that all probably do the FIFO life as well. How's everyone faring? What's the vibe like around the Dongers?
Yeah, look, I'd have to say that in the places I was at, and I wasn't in wider community, but in the places I visited, people were incredibly, I think, resilient. They were very aware of the stresses and strains, particularly for those people who've not been able to be at home for some months because they live outside WA.
Yeah.
And really appreciative of all that's being done to support and keep them at work, but also aware of families and needs beyond that local place.
Indeed. I think, just anecdotally, I feel a lot of people have probably reached out a little bit more than usual, like you said before, about community and connection. Have the mining chaplains seen an increase in people just wanting to catch up for a chat just to talk about life?
Yeah, they all live quite busy lives. I'm sort of really surprised because they're on call 24 hours a day when they're on site.
Right.
And so they have a lot of incidental conversations and a number of very sought out and deliberate meetings with people who really want to talk about how life is for them, what's going on for them, what's important for them, how they're able to do well at work, but also do well at home.
That's fantastic. The silver lining to COVID, specifically for the, you know, the traditional church where we couldn't go to, the Sunday service and things like that, we saw you going a little bit digital this year. You've done a couple of Zoom meetings with communities and you've got a new Facebook page and things like that. Yeah. How has that really expanded, I guess? That must sort of fill your heart with the fact that you get to really connect with a whole broad church of people from around the world pretty much now.
And that's precisely what's happened. It has been, you know, I'd say I'm an analog person who's sort of suddenly been thrust into a digital world. And
you are definitely not an analog person.
I had resisted Facebook for a long time, but actually that has turned out really, really well. I mean, I've been shocked. And when we were all locked down and our church doors were closed, many of our local church communities, like me, found ways to have services online, to reach out via, you know, the online platforms that are many and various. And even in some places, one of our clergy said, look, people here don't really do online things, but they all listen to the radio. So they used to do phone conferencing for services and Bible studies, and really people have been so creative. And we, of course, noticed that people were attending church who otherwise may not have been able to be at church anyway, because they're vulnerable, because they are unable to travel, because they're overseas and away from home. So it's been very interesting for us to go, oh, my goodness me, there's a whole other way in which we're able to connect and reach out.
Indeed. And now I guess that services, all the traditional services are back. What are some of the challenges now where I guess you now have to really juggle the demands of people that maybe still want to experience things in an online space, as opposed to all of the other challenges that have come out of COVID, whether it be social or financial? Plenty of work ahead. Can you outline some of the things that you'll be working on as we move towards Christmas?
Yeah, certainly. So we have I've said we've got 105 parishes across the diocese. So I've already said to our clergy, you know what works at your place, and some will continue online services as well as meeting together for as long as that is possible, and may that be, you know, uninterrupted going forward. But people will do both online and meeting together face to face moving forward towards Christmas. There'll be a lot of thought about how it is that we are able to reach into our communities with that Christmas message, which is so very special to everybody and which people really want to participate in. And some of those are about how it is that we're able to do things in local parks and open spaces, how those carol services, the ones that bring people together, because even those of us who haven't been to church for a long time still have a memory of a favourite carol that, you know, was perhaps a parent or a grandparent's, or we learnt as children. Yeah. And there are things about being together in a space where we're saying, you know, we do stand together. We are people who have real hope for our world and our future. That's an incredibly important time.
Absolutely. I think I couldn't say it better myself. You do bring a lot of people together, and we saw in your inaugural Women in Leadership Conference for Women Clergy around Australia last year, that damn disease, I guess, nipped it in the bud for you doing it again in person this year, but it was a fabulous, energetic group of women. How did you cope with it this year? Did it still take place?
No, this year what we've not done is been able to have a face-to-face meeting, but around the country in different states we have been doing some gatherings as we've been able, and people have been Zooming together to think through what's the next face-to-face meeting for us, which we hope will be next year, but who knows?
Yeah.
And we are looking at connecting with some of those women who from other parts of the world are very strong leaders in their church communities, to be alongside each other and to keep on speaking about how incredibly important women's leadership is, in and for the life of the church, and what great women there are who just in small ways in local communities and in large ways in wider spheres are able to take steps to encourage, enthuse and be real role models for other women of faith.
And it's really interesting because I feel that the faith sector is really sort of left out of the conversation when we have days like International Women's Day and things like that, where if we look to someone like you, I mean, I think one of the messages that you can take for young women, if you can see it, you can be it. And you are essentially one of, you know, you are the first female archbishop in the Anglican Church, which is fantastic. Have you had an overwhelming response for, say, young women or women considering moving into the clergy and how they would go about that?
Increasingly, there are younger women who are exploring this pathway and possibility in their life.
Great.
What is it that they are going to do in their life that has meaning and purpose, that reflects the faith that they know and they live? Just this last week, I've in fact just finished writing cards to a group of Year 3 students I met down at one of our schools in Wellard a couple of weeks ago, and they've all written to me. So I've got some lovely, lovely letters from Year 3 girls saying, you know, when did you know that you wanted to be to work in the church? And I'm thinking, I'm wondering what I will do when I grow up. So I've written to each of them and a little response. But I'm hoping that it's small things like that that help to paint a picture for girls and young women about what's possible for them in their lives.
Absolutely. It's not like there's, well, yeah, just try this TAFE course. No, it is really getting them to tap into, I guess, well, what they really want to contribute.
Yes, we don't do a TAFE course, yes.
I guess how to tap into, like, what they want to see in their community moving forward. So it must be a really heartening thing to go and visit a whole bunch of school kids that have so much hope in their eyes.
It's terrific. It's absolutely terrific. And when I meet with, as I did just recently, with a group of school leaders from Anglican schools, and that would be an annual event, so we broke it down into two support groups so that we were all doing the social distancing, and and spoke with them and heard from them about what this year has been like for them as Year 12 students, and listening to just the incredible ways which young people see how it is that they will move into the future, and how they've managed with some of the challenges of this year and some of the griefs of this year has been really, really astonishing. So I think, you know, incredibly considered and mature young people ahead. I heard you speaking about about leavers and and I happened last year to go with the Red Frogs group.
Amazing.
Down to Dunsborough.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. I was...
you sound like you still need to catch up on your sleep.
just a fraction old in that space. Not so much.
I doubt very much.
They're a terrific group, the Red Frogs group. So I think it'll be really interesting to hear how it is that they are going to approach this year and offer that possibility, that rite of passage.
Indeed.
For those Year 12 students.
Indeed. And that's what I think the next generation, for me, are filled with so much vigour and enthusiasm for how to make the world a better place. And I think one thing that has really drawn my attention to what's happening at the WA Parliament at this point in time is how they're going to install a lot of the recommendations for the Royal Commission into institutional child abuse. Child protection laws, some of the recommendations are mandatory reporting. So people of the church and of the clergy are basically becoming custodians to ensure that if they do see this or happen to come across it, they must report it to look after our little ones. Where do you fall on this scale? We've seen a lot of other dioceses and things like that say, look, we're not really that keen. We'd like to see some more information about it. Where are you as the Anglican Church? Where do you sit on this?
Yeah, so this is... that there are child protection laws that are before the Parliament here, the Child and Community Services Amendment Bill, I think.
Yes.
That's being amended. And so we have in 2017 the National Church, the Anglican Church, as part of our response, and there have been many responses that we have made about how our life is ordered and governed and what our safe church practices are, that we've put in place nationally and then we adopt in a local setting. Mm. So one of those has been a change to one of our canons, our statutes that govern our life,
right.
About mandatory reporting, particularly in the confessionals.
Yes.
So for Anglicans, unlike Catholics, some people might go to private confession.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not everybody would do that. But what we have done is amended that canon to allow for a grave offence to be reported.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a particular pathway for that to take place.
Mm-hmm.
But if that were a matter of child sexual abuse, there is a pathway for that to be reported. So that's been one of the ways that we've seen that. And having looked at the amendment bill that's before Parliament,
mm-hmm.
I feel that we are going to comply with what's required with that, and certainly with mandatory reporting as that comes in.
Absolutely. Would you encourage our legislators to ensure that we get this bill through ASAP to look after the protection of our young people who do want to, you know, enjoy things like childcare and come to church and things like that to ensure,
yeah,
that they are safe?
Yeah, there. I mean, every different church has a different response to this, and so I can only speak from the perspective of the one that I'm part of and responsible in. But yes, of course, we welcome that. We welcome those movements which are being made towards ensuring that children who are so defenseless, and we've seen, you know, over a period of time what that has visited, what that has meant for young people and the impact that has had, and for those who are vulnerable, that we can say to the best of our ability, we have in place really strong protections and requirements around safety for those who are vulnerable.
Absolutely. Archbishop Kay Goldsworthy, you're an inspiration, not just for women, but for people of faith and people that may not be signed up to organised religion. It's been absolutely enlightening speaking with you. Thank you so very much for joining us on The West Live.
Thanks, Jenna. Thanks for having me. It's really kind of you. Take care.
You too.